welcome to session number two. This is an exciting venture, and I'm so glad you could be part of it. The prophecies in the book of Daniel, as well as the historical stories, set the stage for the future and prepare us for what's coming. And that we have this opportunity because God will not let us down. And so we titled this series, The Book of Daniel, Prophecy, History, and the Future. And we're going to do today Daniel, the second chapter. There are five parts. By the way, why do I do this? Let me tell you. I discovered that my Bible study means more when I can take a section, a chapter, or even a book, and I can divide it up into manageable segments and see what point is given there. And I want to share this with you. So in order to go through the second chapter, Daniel, part one will be what I call the need to know. It'll come plain in a second. Part two of Daniel 2 will be only God knows secrets. Number three is the dream itself. Part four is the interpretation. And part five is the conclusion. Oh, Father in heaven, I dare not approach this sacred topic, your Holy Bible, without asking for the Holy Spirit to use me. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, for you deserve to be shown the beautiful, wonderful, incredible, merciful, loving, patient God that you are. And nothing can do that more clearly sometimes than the prophecies. So use me in spite of me and teach us all now. And we thank you for hearing this prayer because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Part one, the need to know. I ask you, invite you to take your Bibles, turn to Daniel, the second chapter, and let's read this first section. I call it the first section, the first part, which is called the need to know. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to the second chapter of Daniel. We're going to be reading verse 1 through 13. And then we're going to look closely at this and see the gems that God has put in it for us. Okay, you ready? All right, here we go. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. And then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, to tell the king's dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. And then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic. O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we'll give you the interpretation. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell me the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, reward, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and the interpretation. They answered again and they said, let the king tell the servants the dream and we'll give you the interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for a certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream and I shall know that you can give me the interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, There's not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, O king, lord and ruler, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with man. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, gave the command to destroy the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. What a predicament Daniel finds himself. Notice the need to know. The king had a dream, but it left him. So he called in his wise men, and get this, three times he told the wise men, tell me the dream and the interpretation. And three times the wise men answered, they could not do what the king asked. So let's look at their answers. The wise men answered first in verse 4 and 7. The first two times they said it the same way. Tell your servants a dream and we will interpret it. But the third time, when the king was insistent, he said to them, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. And then they said in verse 11, it is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Well, let's move on. We'll get to the answer. Let's go to part two, and we'll pull it all together at the end. And this is, God knows secrets. So let's start at verse 14, and we'll read all the way to 20. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone to kill the wise men of Babylon. And the answer, why is this decree from the king so urgent? And Arioch made known the decision to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. And then Daniel went home and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men. And then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes times and seasons, and removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and you have now made known to me what we have asked of you, so you have made it known to us the king's demand. Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and he said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king's matter." And then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream I have seen and its interpretation?" And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers could not declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and your vision on your head upon your bed are these: as for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while in your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he revealed secrets, has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes, who made known this interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart." Wow. That's quite a lot of reading. There's 30 verses there, but let's pick this apart. For notice what happened. When Daniel was informed, and I find this very interesting, by the way. When the king ordered the wise men to be killed, who did they go to first? Sounds to me like Daniel. And why? Because he was a foreigner. Ever heard of prejudice? The other wise men didn't like Daniel. In fact, by the wording in this chapter, we clearly see that when the king invited the wise men, they didn't inform Daniel, because we know from chapter 1, he was one of the wise men. And so Daniel asked Arioch, and he asked the king for time, and it was granted to him. So, Daniel and his three friends prayed about this crucial crisis that he was suddenly confronted with no resources available at hand to defend himself at all, except prayer. Daniel and his three friends prayed. God answered their prayer and revealed the dream and the interpretation. And so Daniel was brought before the king. So, what are we to learn from this? Lesson number one. Notice what they said. There's not a man on earth. Did you get that? King, there's not a man on earth who can do this. But yet the Bible says in Amos, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And we see the same ignorance in our society today towards the Bible and Christianity. They do not know the true character of God. Therefore, they said to the king, there is not a man on earth. None. By the way, was that true? No. It wasn't true. And we see that God is teaching us lessons. Remember, this morning in part one, we discovered that the book of Daniel is about the last days. And so here we clearly see that though the greatest minds of our society today and in this world may be confused on every issue, the Bible is not. And the secrets that the wisest cannot figure out, God's people can. And what other lesson do we learn from this? Verse 11, they said, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. By the way, this is one of my favorite topics right here. Why? Because first of all, let's take a look at what Exodus 25, verse 8 says. It says, read that with me, can you? And let them make me a sanctuary that I may, what? Dwell among them. I mean, we could go back to the Garden of Eden and Jesus walked with Adam and Eve. And then we come a little farther after sin had really taken a hold and discovered that the Israelites were told, Moses was told by God on Mount Sinai. In fact, this is interesting. On Mount Sinai, God gave Moses two things. And everybody knows the first thing that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. What was that? The Ten Commandments. But not many of them know that also he gave them instructions for building the sanctuary, the Old Testament portable sanctuary, so that God himself could dwell with his people. And what did the wise men say? Except the gods whose dwelling is not with men. Well, but let's take a look at the New Testament, at this same lesson we're learning, and we look in John 1:14, and here's what it says. And the Word was made flesh, and what? Dwell among us. Now, I'm assuming that you know in John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that made. And everybody knows that's Jesus. And then we get to verse 14 of the same chapter, and it said Jesus was made flesh for the purpose of dwelling amongst us. By the way, I think you'd be interested to know that in the Greek, that's the New Testament, the Greek, that word dwell means tent. And I thought, wait a minute, in the Old Testament, the Israelites were living in tents as they were wandering in the wilderness. And what did God live in? A tent. And the wise men said, whose dwelling is not with flesh? Well, I'm going to give you one more so we can really bring it up to date. And that's also in the book of John. This is verse 17. I cut it short, but you should know. The Spirit of truth, ... For he dwells with you and will be where? He'll be in you. The world doesn't know God. The world does not have the answers that we need, folks. It's only in the Bible. And for preparation in the last days, the prophecies are of utmost importance because the prophecies are what secrets God revealed to the prophet who wrote them for the purpose of us reading them so that we would know too. Well, there's a third lesson here. And that is this. The third lesson is in verse 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Now, this is really important. Because I occasionally at this point hear people say, yeah, Pastor, but I'm not Daniel. Why did Daniel receive that dream? So Nebuchadnezzar could know. You see, the prophet gets it and he shares it. And then we have to make a decision. Do we believe it or not? But the purpose of prophecy is to win the non-believers to the truth that God exists and dwells with men and is enlisting people right now in his army, because we're going to see in this prophecy coming very soon. So here's another lesson we learn. God reveals secrets. And boy, at the end, remember this, reveal secrets. I mean, I'm going to highlight it in a second, but at the very end, you're going to see the impact and the importance of that statement. Well, the fourth lesson is found in verse 30, where it says, but as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than any living. A humble man. Do you know what I would have said to the king? I would have said, hey, king, your wise men couldn't tell you the dream or the interpretation? I can. I'm really valuable to your kingdom, king. You take care of me, I'll take care of you. Daniel had none of that in him. I want to be like Daniel. He was humble. He said, king, before I tell you the dream and the interpretation, I want you to know it didn't come from me. It came from God. And so this humble man interrupted this whole process. And by the way, you'll see the prophecy of Daniel 2, I'm going to say, is, I think you'll arrive at the same conclusion, the most important prophecy in the book of Daniel. Because this first one sets the stage for Daniel 7, Daniel 8 and 9, and Daniel 10, 11, and 12. Well, there's another lesson here we learn. It's found that in chapter 2, the Aramaic word known and secret are used 15 times and 8 times respectively in this chapter. See, the greatest benefit to me of helping to understand better the book of Daniel was reading it over and over and over and over again. And in that process, my eyesight wasn't as blinded to the dream and the interpretation, as fantastic as that is, and missed these other details that God plugs into his Bible to wake us up to reality. The word secret is 8 times in that chapter. God is trying to tell us the Bible is the only place to find the answer. And 15 times is the word know or known, same Aramaic word. Yes. God wants us to know this, folks, but we can't know it unless we read it and study it. And our next job is to then present it to others like I'm doing, Pastor Ryan's doing, and Anthony Rudolph will be doing, to try to illuminate in your minds the beauty of this book and to show you the signs of the time where we are today and prepare us to understand the book of Revelation. Wow. Well, I want to remind you of 1 Corinthians 1:25, if you missed it. Because the foolishness of God is what? Wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. And so before we come to this beautiful prophecy that illuminates history for us, shows us the existence or the proof of God. We are being told that the knowledge of the world is not the solution or answer to our problems, our hopes, our future. And that there are secrets that can be known by only God's people. And then I include this quote from one of my favorite books called The Great Controversy. Ponder this one little sentence. It's on 519. Satan well knows that all whom he can lead to neglect prayer and the searching of Scripture will be what? Will be overcome by his attacks. And so the very first part leading up to the beautiful prophecy we're going to tackle in a second, we clearly see that God is speaking to us loud and clear. The necessity to do what we're doing so we can know better and share it with others so they can know too. Well, let's go to the third part, the dream. Let's look at verse 31. Here's what it says. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and this form was awesome. This image head was of fine gold, its breast and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet of partly iron and partly clay. And you watched, king, while a stone was cut out without hands, and which struck the image at the feet of iron and clay, and broke them into pieces. And then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold were crushed together, became like the chaff from the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Wow, what a dream he had. And we can tell by the elements in this dream why Nebuchadnezzar was determined to understand. In fact, he was determined to know the dream because he knew it was so important, but he couldn't remember it. And now we know why he forgot it. And by the way, all of you have woke up, know you had dreamt and couldn't remember your dream. But God had a purpose here. First of all, in the ancient Near East, kings thought dreams were from the gods. And so he was determined to know this dream. But God gave him that dream because he wanted to hook Nebuchadnezzar up with his people. The true God of heaven. And so it broke from him. But he knew it was important. And so he saw this incredible image. But then Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted to know, what does this mean? Now here's a principle that I want to teach you that's absolutely essential for understanding the Bible and understanding prophecy. And here's what it is. The fourth part is the interpretation. Let's read it. We'll start with verse 36. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are the king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, and the beasts of the field, or the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hands and has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. Here we go. You are the head of gold. That's what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar. And now what did we do instead of trying to figure out the head of gold I wonder who could, is that Hitler? Is that Moses? Who is the head of GO? We let the Bible interpret itself. If there's a puzzle in this book to you, then look someplace else. And I guarantee you'll find the answer. That's what protects us from going out into outer space with these interpretations. And boy, it is happening in this world today. And so, the head of gold represents the Babylonian Empire. By the way, if you're an official archaeologist kind of person, it's the Neo-Babylonian Empire. And it began in 605 B.C. until 539 B.C. In other words, it had an ending point. And so it says there are breasts and arms of silver. And that verse says, and after thee, after the Babylonian Empire, shall arise another what? Another kingdom. Not a person, not a king, but a kingdom inferior to you. And sure enough, in 539 B.C., the Medo-Persian Empire defeated Babylon in battle, marched into the city under the gate, took over, and that began the Medo-Persian Empire, which lasted to 331 B.C. Okay, so now the Bible has told us each metal represents a kingdom. So there's no fictitious idea fetched from outer space in which we're applying. By the way, what's interesting about Daniel 2 is most commentators agree. In fact, I just finished rereading my Amplified Bible. In the Amplified Bible, it names these kingdoms. But notice this. There's another kingdom of brass. And it says another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. The Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great, overthrew the Medo-Persian Empire in 331 B.C. And they lasted to 168 B.C. So now we got it. You are the head of gold, but after you will be another kingdom inferior to you. But after that kingdom will be a third kingdom of brass. And finally, the fourth kingdom is the kingdom of iron. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Pagan Roman Empire started in 168 B.C., and lasted till 476 A.D. Now, if you notice, the value of the metals is going down. But the strength of the metal is going up. And each kingdom was bigger than the kingdom before. And, of course, everyone knows about the Roman Empire and how powerful it was. But here's the amazing part of the prophecy. I want you to catch this. Daniel was taken captive in 605 B.C. Right? We found out this morning that he lasted till the very beginning of the Medo-Persian Empire. And yet in writing this book, because God revealed a secret, look what he found out. He found out, or we found out from him, verse 41 says, whereas you saw feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be what? Divided. Yet the strength of iron shall be in it. How in the world did Daniel know 1,000 years in advance that there would be 4 world empires? That's amazing enough. But how's this? There's no 5th one. Instead, we have Europe, the breakup of the Roman Empire. And Daniel was told by God, the kingdom will be divided. There won't be a 5th kingdom. Now, this is amazing. And let me put this in again for you who have little children. If they come to you and say, Mommy, Daddy, or Grandma, why? How can I believe in God? I've never seen Him. How do I know He exists? Friends, sit down and read Him, Daniel 2. And you look at that little child who has a mind active as can be and say, how did Daniel know 1,000 years in advance that the 4th kingdom would disappear and there's no 5th? Mommy, God knows the end from the beginning. Yes, dear. And so you see, as we read our Bibles, children, we're to find these evidences of His existence. For Jesus said, I tell you these things beforehand, so that when they happen, you will believe. But there's more. There's more. By the way, that represents Europe, and it started around 476 A.D., and it's lasted till the present. But look at this. Verse 43, as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they shall mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere one to another. I've got to read something to you that's outstanding. Now let's look at this. All the commentators understand this is a reference to cross-pollination, mingling the seed. Do you know that during the Middle Ages, the kingships of all these countries, including England, traded off, well, you can, hey, take your son and marry my daughter. To where it got to the point that every single ruling monarch was related to all the others. And the Bible said they'll try that to unify, but won't work. I did some checking. You'll find this very humorous, but very interesting. Who here knows the current king of Sweden? His name? His name is Carl the 16th Gustaf. And the king of Sweden happens to be 70% German, 10% French, and 20% British. They mingled together, folks, trying to make the effort of uniting, but the Bible said it won't work. So they went about it a little different way. And that is Charlemagne, Napoleon, you know these names, Kaiser Wilhelm, Mussolini, Hitler, all tried to unite Europe, and what happened? Didn't work. Let me get even more contemporary, the European Union. They still were a bunch of independent countries, and now that's falling apart. Why? Because Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar 1,000 years plus in advance that they'll try all kinds of techniques to reunite that divided kingdom, but it won't work. God really exists. Prophecy can show the strongest evidence our children need to understand these prophecies. By the way, they're not going to understand these prophecies unless we understand these prophecies. And by the way, I got to say this to you. I'm a pastor, right? I'm a pastor, and you know, I've got a little bit of education, okay? But I'm telling you, if I can figure this out, anybody can figure this out. I'm not this brilliant brainiac like another pastor I know. God revealed himself to me. And I couldn't believe it. I don't believe I'm standing here sharing this with you. If you knew the sweat that went into this, not just the sermon, I'm not talking about that, trying to understand the book of Daniel. And because of my seeking, he says, seek and you shall find. Why? Because he reveals his secrets to his people. So that didn't work, but here we go. Here we go. And look what verse 44 tells us. And in the days of these king, the God of heaven will set up his kingdom, which will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Amen. In our very day is the second coming. There isn't another kingdom or another group of kingdoms. Europe was set up. And the next thing that is going to happen, and you read the prophecy, it says the stone cut out of a rock without hands struck the image at the toes and feet of clay and iron. That's now. Have you heard people say to you, I keep hearing this is the last days. What do you base that on? You know, people are saying, this is the end of time. What do you base that on? Now, we base it on the fact that in the days of these kings, which are in existence right now, at any time Jesus could come. And by the way, when we continue in this, and we get to the prophecies of Daniel 7, which Anthony's going to present, you'll see how these two go side in side, but it digs deeper into the story about the toes and the feet of iron and clay. See, this was for Nebuchadnezzar, who was a secular king, and it wasn't necessary for him to know what we needed to know that we get in chapter 7, only it doesn't come to the king, it comes to Daniel, a vision in the night that focuses on the feet of clay and iron, but can only be understood when we see Daniel 2's prophecy sets the stage for history, and then 7, 8 and 9, and 10, 11 and 12 fill in the spaces. And so what was the result of this? The result of it was this, and I can't believe I'm going to read this to you. I'm serious. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face prostrate before who? Unheard of. Unheard of. I can see his wise men. And by the way, since the wise men couldn't come through for him, I don't know where he's at in this point in the story. Maybe he kicked them all out and hired new ones. But you can bet the new ones came running up saying, King, get off your knees. You don't bow to anybody. Don't let the people see you. King, what are you doing? The king was so overwhelmed by the message of the prophet that he couldn't do anything but fall at the feet of this young man. And then he said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the what? Revealer of secrets. That came from Nebuchadnezzar. That didn't come from Daniel. In fact, he was so overwhelmed, he repeated it. Since you could reveal this secret to me. Wow. See, in case you missed the 8 times in that book, it talks about secrets. You'll now know that God is trying to tell us, I'm trying to inform you of things you don't know. Satan well knows that all who neglect reading the Bible and prayer will be overcome by his attacks. And God is saying, no, 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 K-N-O-W or K-N-O-W-N, and I will reveal secrets to you. Folks, we all need to know what's going on. Prophecy tells us. And so, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Oh, how they must have hated him. But here again, don't forget chapter 1. God gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar, who stole the implements from the sacred temple called This Is Where My Name Is, and he marched them to his kingdom and put them in his temple and said, our God is more powerful than the God of Israel. And now who's the number 2 in the kingdom? Daniel. That's where we're supposed to be. In fact, have you heard the statement? We're not to be the tail. We're to be the head. And I don't mean the head as in ruler, like in this case. I'm talking about in principle that we would actually act like Christians, not just talk about it. That the Spirit of the living God would live so powerfully in our lives that no one would have a doubt that we love Jesus. And when someone offends us, and I'm Italian, I got some... Jenny says, your face always tells everything. But since I met the Lord goes, Neri, knock it off. Oh, all right, Lord. And I say, I'm sorry, I lost it there. And I'm sorry, and I have, and some of you have experienced that. And I hope and believe, I said, I was sorry. Why? Because Daniel said, this wasn't revealed to me because I'm a hotshot. This was revealed to me because I asked God to tell me, and he did. And he will tell you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, what a God you are. How incredible is the book of Daniel? I mean, I know the whole Bible's incredible. But for some reason, to me, it just illuminates in my mind. And I want these wonderful people to know you better than they did before. To understand that the rest of the stories, as we look at chapter 3, an incredible application by Nebuchadnezzar to get back his power. And how again you revealed mercifully to him your power. And you converted that man, Lord. We're going to see him in heaven. So help us to keep coming. Help us to not say, I'm too tired, or I got too much to do. Or, you know, the typical ploys of Satan whispering in our ears. So help us to stick it out. And keep revealing your secrets to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.